Hello, everyone. I'm Amanda, compulsive overeater and food addict. Thank you all for being here today. It's a pleasure to be up here. I don't often plan my talks because I feel like my higher power will just tell me what people need to hear. But then I start taking notes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll qualify just a little bit of why I'm here. I know that many of you don't need the gory details because we're all here because, you know, it's described that we have a spiritual malady, a physical allergy brought on by the mental obsession. So it doesn't matter if I came into this program at 409 pounds, which I did. It doesn't matter if I came in at 90 pounds and need to gain weight. It's the mental obsession that brings us all here. You know, but some of the ways that my disease did present itself, like I said, my high weight was 409 pounds. I came to program 20 years ago this month. I think it was October 16th, 2003, and spent about 16 and a half years trying the easier, softer ways, coming in and out, still trying to do it Amanda's way. So I hit 400 pounds a couple times throughout that 16 years. I had an A1C of 12, was my highest, diagnosed when I was 29 with type 2 diabetes. And this was when you had to have an A1C of 8 or more. So, you know, you underachievers at 6.5, like, you know, that's nothing. But, you know, to counteract that, today my A1C is 5.3 because of this program. You know, it is, you know, I took 6 pills and an injectable. I knew how to manipulate those medications so that I could eat what I wanted. I had 3 pregnancies with gestational diabetes. One was insulin dependent. And I would be able to inject myself to offset whatever I was eating. Because, again, that mental obsession. I do have a couple pictures I'll just hold up, you know, for the people. Because, like someone said, we often stand up here at a normal weight. And you probably can't see them too well from far away, but that, you know, that was me at the peak of my disease. So, yeah. And then as far as like attempts, you know, I'm not a person who comes in with a lot of stories of weight loss attempts. I went to Weight Watchers when I was 8 because I got the doctor approval to do it. And what I remember about that was there was just a bunch of ladies who loved me a lot when I was 8 years old, you know, who maybe are in here. You know, when I was 13, I remember the summer I was 13, I decided to be anorexic. And that was, it lasted till lunch. And that was as far as I got with that. So I am not a restrictor whatsoever. Like I said, I came into program almost 20 years ago. I right away got absent, and I still only define that as absent because I don't think that I was really working the program. I had a food plan and I followed it, but I still wanted it my way. Which 10 minutes is gonna go really fast, so I need to like jump ahead a little bit already in my notes. For 16 and a half years, I was on a mission to prove the big book wrong, that half measures could avail me something. And I was going to prove that. And I was going to be happy with whatever those half measures availed me. I would be satisfied. But that's just not how it worked. I came back in January of 2020, right before COVID. I was going to some phone meetings, a couple Zoom meetings, because I didn't have to announce myself. If I came into the room, you guys knew I was thinking of coming back. And I didn't want that because I really had, I had to know that I would not fail again. And so I was. I was able to sit in those meetings and not say anything. And so finally, the beginning of May 2020, I found my renewed abstinence, which now I call my recovery. It was the first time in all that time that I've ever said I was in recovery, and it's been the best 3.5 years of my life. I definitely, you know, it came down to fully surrendering. Like we've heard several people say in chapter 5 of How It Works, you know, it says rarely have we seen a person fail. But then a few paragraphs later, it again, like I said, it says half measures avail us nothing. And then, like Robin had said, goes on to say we stood at a turning point. I had to decide. I had to decide what I was going to do. I had to accept that I was not unique. That was the thing. I wanted to prove to everybody that I was different than you. You know, I mean, just because we feel the same way does not mean that we are the same. Like, I wanted to prove everybody wrong. But I want to read, for those of you that come to some of my meetings, I love literature and I read from it all the time. And I hauled about 20 pounds of it with me today and I picked the smallest book. But in May 7th of For Today, it says, I paid a very high price to get to OA and my life of abstinence and sanity are worth more to me than anything. But it is easy to forget the lonely days of compulsive eating, compulsive overeating, can become hazy and I can get caught up in the cares of a day, running here, going there. It is easy to drift into old habits and thought patterns that block my usefulness to myself and others. I need to remind myself that the OA program is one of action, going to meetings, working the steps, making 12-step calls, all part of my life of abstinence and sanity. For today, this is nothing. There is nothing in the world I would take in exchange for what I have in OA. I go to any length to keep it. And that includes my food plan. My food plan is not mine. It was not designed by me. It does not have Amanda's say on what I get to do. You know, and I have a note in here that I wrote. I said, I paid a very high price even in these rooms to get to where I am today, which today I get to live happy, joyous, and free. Some of the things that I jotted down too, like, you know, like I said, the food plan, it's where it starts. You know, I have to have the food down if I'm willing to be of service, if I'm willing to be up here, if I have anything productive to say, I need a clear mind. And I never realized how I was lacking that for so long. You know, I feel like many of us can relate that our outside world, we presented as very good, productive people, even if we were extremely overweight or underweight or whatever. Like, we were still decent members of society for the most part. Thank you. But that, you know, it just, when we got home, I mean, that's what brought me back, that mental obsession. So, you know, the topic with food being our fuel, not our friend. Like I said, I was making notes everywhere and I'm including one in my phone, that now I can't find. But I wrote, today, I don't find comfort in my food. It doesn't make me feel better. It doesn't make me feel safe. It doesn't make me happy when I'm sad or settle my nerves or anxiety. It doesn't make my fears disappear. Today, my food is my sustenance that I need to be able to live. Today, I eat to live. I no longer live to eat. I am grateful for this mental shift. Today, I feel that I show my gratitude through the willingness I have each and every day to surrender my will, to work my program, to use all of the tools, to work the steps and practice these principles in all of my affairs. Each day I take action so that I am blessed with one more daily reprieve because that's all that I am promised. And I, you know, I often say, this is like annoying. You know, I don't very often say, oh, I'm gonna celebrate, you know, this milestone, God willing. Because God's will for me is to be abstinent tomorrow. So I have to follow his will for me, which is to be recovered and which is to live the best life possible. And I can't do that when I'm doing it on my own. There's another part. There's a few lines in the big book, too, that I'm just going to read. Like, one says, the rewards of sobriety are bountiful and are progressive as the disease they counteract. And that's what I think, too. Like, today, I get to stand up here, thank you, with gratitude in my heart. And I feel like I show that through my program, through my service, through my meetings, through, you know, my phone calls. Because I just want to do it all, like, or, you know, I want to experience it all, you know. And the thing that I repeat to myself almost every single day is on page 337, it says, "You said as long as I put AA first in my life, everything else that I put second would be first class." Mm. And that's so true. Like, you know, everything in my life just is on a whole different level because of where I am today, you know. And I only have a few seconds left, but to say, like, you know, this food plans, like, they're portable everywhere. Like, yeah. I go to, you know, US Bank Stadium and I bring my food in. They will let you. All you have to say is, "I have food allergies." They're like, "Okay, go ahead." Yeah. You know, I mean, I take it to Twins games. I take it to concerts. Everywhere. Like, you can do it. That's my time. But, you know, we're all in this together. And it's just one day at a time. We're only promised today. I'll pass. Thank you.